You're listening to the Anime Brothers Podcast, a podcast that is committed to a weekly schedule. I am your present host, Earthworm, and with me as always is a man who is also present, Maddie.
Clever intro dialogue here. Am I right, fellow listeners?
banter.
Banter. charming wit, and anime as well.
It's a free-for-all episode this week. We had originally planned on releasing Matt and Grant's seasonal episode, but for the sake of completion, there's probably a better word there, but to make sure that they get to watch all of the anime that they will be covering, that episode will be pushed back a little while, hopefully not too long. We'll find out, but think of this as like your little buffer if you want more of Earthworm and Maddie, just to get you through until you get to hear all the thoughts on this hype summer season. Here it is. A little just chatting. We'll hit the Patreon rundown afterwards. Be probably a shorter episode, but just good vibes all around. Just imagine, like, you know, this difference between most of our episodes are like a party. This is like a get together. You know, the kind of difference between those two things.
Yeah, and if you're thinking, well, will you be talking about anime? I got some anime that I have thoughts about, including the latest Demon Slayer movie. Please, people, stick around. You like Demon Slayer, don't you, kids? You love Demon Slayer. You love when the demons are being slayed and we spend 5 hours learning about a demon's backstory after they die. You love that, don't you, kids? Please don't leave.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I'm going to give plugs, and then I kind of like a little weird topic that I want to talk about. So plugs real quick. Join the Discord. That is the best place to hang out with us. Join the Patreon if you end up really liking the episode and you want to give us a little monetary support. And by $1 at a time, help me fix my leech field so I can pee safely. And go to animesery.com to check out Maddie's blog. Read all about it. And if you want to vote on the seasonal awards that we will be doing in the near future, there is a Google form that you can fill out. The link is going to be, I'll go ahead and slap it in the show notes. That way you don't have to join the Discord, listener, if you're not interested. If you're already part of the Discord, it's there. We're probably going to be posting it out on like Instagram and Blue Sky and all that BS. So what we're saying is we want you guys to vote. We want to hear what you think about this summer season. I've heard it's really good. I have not delved into much of it myself.
If they just go to animisery.com, it should be the first thing they see. That's how I've set up the website.
You just go to animisery.com. Nice.
It's there.
I love that.
Streamlined. Yeah. Streamlined.
Streamlined, baby. Cool. So let's get into it. I want to talk real quick about kind of like my feelings about anime. It's something that I was going to talk to you about off pod, but it's like, fuck it, we're here, man. And you were talking to me like the summer season's really good, you know? And like, I'm sitting back and I any bit of my free time, it's like I don't choose to watch anime anymore. Like I'll watch whatever for the pod. I'll have a good time watching stuff for the pod, but it's that choosing to watch it. Like the other day I opened up Crunchyroll and I was like, I'm gonna fucking watch an anime. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna watch something that I don't have to watch for the podcast. And I scrolled through and nothing inspired that like jump out immediate joy where I'm like, oh boy. And I think that's like a whole problem with me. Like, I'm in this like mood where it's like, if it's not a hyperfixation, I don't want it. I can't. It's a very hard for me to apply my attention to something that I'm not just head over heels for. But also, I feel like I've mismanaged this whole podcast thing. You know, like early on, we put so much stress on ourselves, JD and I, to like, you know, be the podcast that we thought we needed to be. Mm-hmm. And you know, that put that I had a lot of baggage with anime now, so it's like I don't know if anybody else kind of have you ever felt that, Matt, because you've been in the podcast game for a while. I mean, I know you, this is like your genuine passion, and you know, for me it was a 4-year long hyperfixation that I've kind of fallen out of that mode, but I still really like anime when I sit down and watch it and we can sit down and like talk about it. Like, we've got a really cool themed month coming up that I'm genuinely excited for. But yeah, I don't know, man. I guess it's tough for a listener to kind of weigh in. I wonder if anybody else has like just baggage with a certain medium where it's like, yeah, I really like it, but it kind of like, it makes me feel weighed down when I think about actually doing it.
You know, I kind of have that kind of like, it's kind of with me and reading, to be honest, before I talk about anime about it.
Yeah.
Reading, I have the same feeling because so much of my so much of what I spent in school, just higher education, was reading things I didn't want to enjoy, reading things that sucked, reading things that took the spirit of reading out of me. And I came out of that entire experience reading a bunch of books that I was told to read, and I never got to read books that I wanted to read. So I didn't know what books I wanted to read, kind of like how you're talking about you don't know what anime you want to watch because you've been spending a lot of time with anime you're supposed to watch, you know?
Yeah.
And so I couldn't find books that I legitimately liked, because I'd pick one up and I was like, this is just a task all over again, a task to complete.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the vibe I got from reading for the longest time, until I just read the books that I wanted to read because they sounded interesting to me. But, and I mean, now I do struggle with finding books I like. And that's kind of the problem, I feel like, with our education system. It doesn't incentivize reading for pleasure, you know? There's too much required reading when there should just be necessary reading, if that makes any sense. Like, there shouldn't be you have to read specifically this book, you should read a book. And that's one of the things I do love about my English education in high school, was that my teachers did required reading over the summer, but every single one of them gave you a list of 20 books, at least 20 books. So I got to read books that are essential reading. For example, Johnny Got His Gun. I got to read that because it was on this list. A very harrowing tale of that song by Metallica. God, I can't remember the name of it. The One or whatever. That's basically, that song is just a telling of that book. And In Cold Blood by Truman Capote. I got to read that because it was on these lists of long books. And I feel like, I don't know. Anyways, point being, reading is kind of the same way that I feel about anime. Kind of, when I read a book, if I pick up a book, I love reading and I will knock it out in a couple days because I love reading. But I don't seek it out now as much as I used to.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird thing. It's just like, given the opportunity, it's like, ah, man. And I think because of the podcast, it's one of those things where it's like, I know that there are going to be times where I'm going to have to watch a lot of anime. You know, I'm going to have to fucking do nothing but watch anime. Yeah. So it's almost like subconsciously I'm sitting back going like, well, let's save the anime reserves for when those times come. You know, when we have a themed month of like 24 episode fucking animes every week. I'm like, all right, here we go. But I don't know. I'm not sure, because I genuinely, like, multiple times, not just that time I brought up, but I've opened up Crunchyroll and I'm like, I'm going to fucking watch something, man. And I'm like, do I want to watch a new die? Like, I really like Dr. Stone. Dr. Stone's really fun. But, you know, I don't go and put on Dr. Stone. There's a bunch of seasons that I could check out, you know? And it's not even like new stuff that's the problem. Now it's like, it's sequel stuff where it's like, we're probably not going to cover Dr. Stone anytime soon, you know? So like, why, what am I have no drive to be like, yeah, let's sit down and watch some fucking Dr. Stone, brother. I don't know.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Well, and speaking of just talking about anime, I've been burned out of anime before. 2023, when I was kind of on a downward slump as far as just my hobbies went, I watched hardly any anime. You know, it's a huge slump I had in 2023, and I just didn't enjoy it. I didn't watch it. I was kind of upset watching anime because of personal reasons, and so I just didn't do it. And it kind of became to me by the time that 2023 ended, I was watching hardly any anime. And so much of 2024 was me catching up on the anime I missed in 2023. But you know, it's my passion. I love anime. I love anime wholeheartedly. But I'm also I'm not torturing myself over anime too. You brought up the seasonal episode that's coming up. I'm not doing what I did in Otomel. If I don't like an anime, I'm not going to watch it. You know, I used to watch shit like the healing anime. I forget the name of it right now, but it's my lowest rated, the worst show I've ever seen. I used to
Redo
watch
of Healer?
Yeah, Redo of Healer.
Yeah.
I used to watch Redo of Healer, shows like that. I literally did Anna Misery because I thought to myself that, oh, this will charm the kids. They'll be like, they're gonna watch Kodomo G-Con or High Five, boys. And then I would leave saying, that didn't better me as a person. That didn't make me stronger. I mean, and now I just watch what I like. If I there was that game, this anime from the season, the Game Center Girl anime. I said, okay, it's kind of cute. I can get into this. I'll watch it just to add, you know, to give myself some spice. But then we got to like episode 4 where this 13-year-old went on a date with somebody in college. And I said, no, Chief, we ain't doing that. We ain't doing that. I'm getting pulled. Beep, beep. We're getting off this bus. This ain't
that's
it.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And I think that makes it more, I think that's what makes this a better hobby now for me, is that I am not watching just absolute Kuso just so that I can rip off the sleeves of my shirt and say like, yep, so anime suffering guns right here, baby. I watched a 4 out of a shit tier anime. Yeah, I'm a real anime fan. Like, fuck it. No, I'm not doing that anymore. You know?
Yeah.
So here I am, stronger and better for it, some would say.
Sure. Sure. I still know I'm an anime fan, though, deep down inside, because I still get giddy when I see things like, you'll see Evangelion pop up on like the Letterboxd subreddit where they just talk about like fucking movies and shit. And they're like, what do you guys think about Evangelion? What do you guys think about Akira? And everybody's like, fucking masterpiece, bro. And I'm like, oh, these are film buffs, dude. These are like dudes who would normally probably look at anime, you know, stuff that I also love and be like, childish, shallow and pedantic. But then some of it like transcends anime. That's so cool. I think that shit's awesome.
Yes, I agree. Shallow and pedantic. Lois, this meatloaf is shallow and pedantic.
It insists upon itself.
It insists upon itself, Lois.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? And that's cool, though. That's one of the coolest things about anime, or at least I think it is finding other people who like anime out of nowhere. I recently started listening to this podcast called Close All Tabs because it's part of the NPR network out of WQED in San Francisco. And one of the hosts randomly said, yeah, this is basically the plot of Evangelion. And I paused and said, wait a minute. Okay. All right. Yep. I see you. And then if I just scrolled down, she had an episode about why can't hentai go legit. I was a fool.
That's wild. Yeah. I mean, even stuff like the movie Nope, you know, like that has some heavy Evangelion fucking inspired imagery. And it's so cool to see. And then the Akira bike slide, you know what I mean? Like that. Jordan Peele is clearly a fan of at least the quote-unquote prestige anime, you know? I bet he's watched Ghost in the Shell, too, you know? Like,
I bet he has. He's a better man than me. I've never watched Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, really? No shit.
Yeah.
I've only seen the movie, but...
Yeah, I got Standalone Complex on DVD because it was like $5 at Walmart. And I said, oh, man, $5 at Walmart, you know there's going to be some heat packed into this baby. And then I didn't watch it. But I want to watch Ghost in the Shell. I should watch Ghost in the Shell. You know what? Maybe I'll do that during my bye week when I'm not after I finish doing all the seasonal stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. I'm doing the exact opposite. I'm like, you know, I could do an episode on Ghost in the Shell. Maybe we should watch it for the podcast.
Hey, November's schedule is there. We could do it. Nobody can stop us.
Nobody can tell us not to.
Isn't there something we're doing in November already?
I think I might be effectively being pressured by you and our listenership.
Oh yeah. They're gaslighting you, or they're forcing you to think about watching The Summer Hikaru Died. That's
yeah,
right.
they're telling Dad he needs to come home.
Yeah, they are. They're telling you. They are literally saying that in the Spotify comments below, that you need to come home. It's been 25 years. The milk's probably already spoiled. They just want you at this point. More so than anything else.
Yeah.
Well, but you know, anime is one of those things, and it's one of and this is a complaint I made way back during Otomil, is that when you watch an episode of an anime, you see the time bar at the bottom. It says 23 minutes and 47 seconds. You've got to take that slab of time out of your schedule and sacrifice it to the anime, you know? Like, forbidding that you are a person who watches it 2x speed, but you see that chunk of time. And that is what you are going to be sacrificing, offering up to the gods of anime. And so that makes anime kind of a hobby, or, you know, like watching any TV show, it makes it so you have a concrete amount of time you have to sacrifice, you know? You play a video game, though, that game stops whenever you stop, you know? So it's easier to get lost in.
Yeah.
So maybe that could be a contributing factor as well.
Yeah, I mean, my fucking TikTok attention span definitely doesn't help this whole situation.
Fair enough.
I put Subway Surfer on the bottom. Help your boy out.
Oh, throw in a Family Guy clip. Come on. Just the Family Guy best laugh compilation number 23, please. Please.
Just need a little Family Guy, man. But yeah.
I don't care if I've seen the clip already of Stewie beating up Brian. I gotta have it.
Oh, man, that's classic YouTube. So we can get on to stuff that's actually on the dock now. You know, now we have padded the episode enough with my mental health crises.
Oh, man. Foreplay. Ooh, can I talk about my mental health crises as well?
You can talk about all the mental health crises, man.
I've been depressed this week, gang. There you go. That's it.
Oh, big hug.
I get over it. Every time before we record this podcast, I've been jumping around, hopping up and down, doing jumping jacks, doing push-ups, getting myself hyped. So, I'm ready. I'm done.
I started to do push-ups this week, actually. I started to do a few, like, little home workouts, push-ups, sit-ups, squats. Pulled a muscle in my fucking chest after the second day, but it feels better now, so we're back on it today. 10 push-ups.
Good job. Awesome job, dude. Awesome job. Any exercise is exercise.
I'm trying, brother. I'm trying to be less of whatever I was before.
Dude, you know what? When I come up there, I bring my tracksuit and we can just jog. Although I don't like jogging, so we'll get like, you know, like a quarter of a mile and I'll be like, I'm done.
Oh, we'll power walk in the body improvement club gear. Ooh. And we'll just keep yelling fight on while we walk down my road and people will be like, those guys are weird.
They'll be like, I get called a girl so much at work when I let my hair down. So I was gonna say, like, the girl was pretty cute though. I get confused for a girl so much when my hair's down.
That's so weird. That happens to Robbie too. I don't get it.
Well, from behind, you know, from behind.
I guess. I don't know.
Well, my outfits are, a lot of my outfits on the go are pink and purple because those are one of my favorite colors. And I got,
well, sure.
I'm also in the South, all right? So they're like, yeah, that person has long hair. They must be a woman. I mean, they must be a woman.
A woman.
Hey, miss or ma'am. God.
Darling. What?
What did you say to me?
Yeah, so we can get on stuff that's actually on the dock now. What do you want to talk about first?
All right, I'm going to bring some anime real quick because somebody's got to, you know, and I might as well bring it. So over the weekend, or over our off time between records, I watched the latest Demon Slayer movie, Infinity Castle. I'm not going to talk spoilers, so please stay, okay? No spoilers. No spoilers for you, no spoilers for Earthworm, okay? And I just gotta say, my primary vent about this entire movie is 2.5 hours. Good lord, dude. There weren't even credits. The credits were the anime. It was just, the show kept going, man. They turned the lights on in my local theater and I said, the movie is still going. What do you mean the lights are on? Yeah, but a visual spectacle, as we would expect out of Ufotable.
Of course.
If anything, watching it just for the visuals alone is worth it just for the eye candy. Now it's Demon Slayer's story. I did get swerved once during this movie that caught me off guard. Actually, twice. One time I got swerved really hard, and one time I just got kind of swerved. So that's new for Demon Slayer, because normally Demon Slayer is straightforward, and you just kind of know where the turns are going to be. It's very predictable when a demon gets defeated every single time. We've seen it every single time, barring once or twice. We get a sad backstory for the demon, why they turn out the way they were. Now, normally that doesn't take up an hour, but for the Demon Slayer movie, for some reason, the big bad of this movie had like his own movie. The flashback for this character took so long that I said, what movie am I watching? What movie am I watching now?
Okay.
I'm confused. I got lost in this flashback. It was so long. It was a very long flashback.
Huh.
And honestly, though, I've got to sing the praises of Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer is one of those properties that I forget I really like until I'm in it. Now, I did have a couple of, like, the last two seasons were big misses for me. Swordsmith Village, I didn't care that much about because it didn't have Inosuke. And the Hashira training arc was an absolute slog. I mean, to quote our delightful, Earthworm's delightful little blurbs he puts for Simplecast, they say Muzan is still walking to that damn house. so padded out in the worst way, and just not that fun. Like, you know, visually fun to watch Hashira training arc, but not a lot of story. But this was this movie pretty good. I enjoyed it a lot. It made me care about Zenitsu. And if you've heard my track record with Demon Slayer, you know that's a big ask for me to care about Zenitsu.
So the only thing I know about this Demon Slayer movie is I saw a video, like a cell phone video, of some dude. First of all, it was what I assume was like the Zenitsu pop-off moment in the background on the screen, because I'm seeing some crazy visuals. I see Zenitsu. But then in the front is just a dude getting the shit fucking punched out of him by another guy. And I read into it a little bit. Apparently this dude was like pissing on kids or whatever, so probably deserved it. But it's just like, the video just starts immediately, Demon Slayer in the background and some dude getting fucking walloped. And I was like, damn, dude, what is happening?
They were talking about it in our Discord. Go join our Discord. And they were talking about how in some theater, some dude jacked off on another someone else.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and that's one of those things where if you nut on me in the movie theater, especially when I'm watching the Demon Slayer movie, I am going to kill you, then I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah, how do you go on?
Did you just think dude was standing there just for a while going like, I hope this dude moves out of the way. He's been standing me for a while, shrugging in his pockets for a while. What's going on here?
I would assume it was like a from behind the back thing, like the seat behind you, you know? Could you imagine you're just chilling, taking a sip of your Coca-Cola, eating some buttered popcorn, and you're like, why is my cheek warm and wet?
Good Lord. You know what? That doesn't really plague me because I generally sit in the far back of theaters because I don't want them to see I'm sitting alone. But also because
want anyone to jerk off on you.
Now that I know it can happen, I'm scared that it might happen. Unless the guy handling the projector is just like, oh yeah, I'm loving this Naked Gun movie.
Or a dude sits in front of you and just turns around, looks at you and go, you're not safe. I shoot ropes.
Oh my God. He's like, I'm charging it up, dude. And I just say, what are you charging up? And then halfway through the movie, I'm just...
You see a fucking water fountain?
Good Lord. I don't like that. We are headed towards an absolute shit show of a society. And I had this discussion in the Discord as well. Again, go join the Discord. About back when, in 2014 or whenever, when Battle of the Gods came to theaters, I went to go see it in theaters. And on opening day, I might add. And there were only 6 other people in that theater who all sat together.
Oh shit. And yeah, dude, I was similar. I went same idea, like fucking opening day or one of the days it wasn't out for very long here.
It wasn't.
Like so much so that I actually saw a dude that I knew like from way back then, from back in like fucking my first job in high school, and we used to fucking talk Dragon Ball Z and Yu Yu Hakusho. And I was like, "Hey, what are the odds?" And apparently pretty high, cuz he at the time was the only other anime fan in the fucking you know, the Tri-County area.
Yeah, you have fuck off, JD.
No, JD was there. It was me, JD, I can't remember exactly. But it was my group of friends, and, like, him and his little brothers, and, like, that was it.
Oh, okay. The story made it sound like you were there without JD, and I was like, well, I always knew he was a phony. I just didn't have the evidence to prove it.
Yeah, no, actually hates anime. Texts me every day and says, you still watching them Japanimation cartoons, idiot?
Oh, I thought I was just the only one that he was texting about that, but
he should just make a group text, honestly, save some time.
He really should. I don't know if he knows how to do that. Anyways, yeah, but we were just talking about how back in 2014, the movie theaters would not be popping off, even during hit properties like DBZ, but now, even in my Demon Slayer showing that I saw maybe a week and a half afterwards, I still had an almost full theater, you know? And it's amazing. It's cool that anime has reached to the echelons of being that big of entertainment, but now it has attracted actual crazy people who will jerk off on people, and I don't like that.
Yeah, no, we used to just have figure jars, and now the figure jars are real people, Matt. We can't
now
do this.
We're the figure jars.
Now.
And now I'm the nut bucket.
Oh, you either die a jar or live long enough to be the figure.
Oh, that was my favorite line from The Dark Knight. I'm glad you brought it up. But Demon Slayer was a solid 8 out of 10. Back to form after a lackluster Hashira arc, in my opinion, and a Swordsmith Village that missed for me because I did not care about Tokito and any of the other shenanigans involved with that arc. But yeah, really returned to form. Some spectacular visuals. Ufotable loves that Infinity Castle set. You get to see it all the time. As I was telling Mike Guy, or not so Mike Guy. I'd say, like, if they just cut out half of those, the runtime would have been dropped by a substantial amount. But they love it, and I get it. It's cool. It gives you that sense of foreboding, that sense of a haunting reality that you cannot fathom because there's so many buildings of so many different statures, and you just don't know where Muzan is. It's horrifying when you really get down to it, because even in the course of the film, they're already encountering really strong enemies, and they still don't know where Muzan is. It's horrific. So it's a good set for that, but I was getting tired of seeing it over and over and over again. But, you know, that's just me. But 8 out of 10 for me. But also should not be 2.5 hours long. I almost pissed myself.
I cannot wait until it comes out on Crunchyroll as in 6 episodes. It's going to be great.
Oh, God, it will. They were going to cut that thing up into 8 episodes, honestly. Because, again, no spoilers here. But the flashback arc felt like it was a 3-episoder for sure.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, and it didn't make me even like the character it was featuring that much either.
It's the worst.
I was like, just kill him already, God, get to the point.
You didn't change my mind at all.
I think he's even worse now, because he could have learned a lesson, and he didn't. Demon Slayer, Demon Slayer Infinity Castle. That's all I got to say about that. What do you got to talk about? Saturdays at your place, at my place? Oh.
Yeah, your place. No, it's this cool new emo band that I've been listening to. Genuinely, like, super, pretty much fucking obsessed with them. They put out their first record in, like, 2021, so they're fresh off the fucking emo, you know? They're fresh off the out of the Midwest. I don't know if they're actually out of the Midwest, but they got a little bit of a Midwestern vibe. It's like a, I wouldn't call them, like, the most Midwest emo band ever, but it's got a good mix of, like, Midwest emo and some of that, like, it's kind of a mild revival of sad boy pop punk in my eyes. Maybe that's just because I'm getting similar vibes from it, but, like, The Wonder Years, Story So Far, Real Friends, that kind of 2013 era of pop punk, it feels like they're really inspired by them while still pulling out the twinkly ass guitar every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're really good. I'm super excited. They got like fucking 300,000 monthly listeners on Spotify, so they're on the come up, you know. But I'm hoping that I you know, bands. I love finding bands that are kind of on that level, because it's like, hell yeah, dude, I can go see you for fucking $20 at my local local like music venue and not have to travel across the fucking country and pay $1 billion.
I just looked them up. They're literally playing really close to me in like 2 months from now.
Hell yeah, dude. That's awesome. They're coming to Boston relatively soon. And if I was in a better financial standings, I would 100% be heading to Boston to catch them. They're playing with another band called Carly Cosgrove, which is like, if that's not fucking iCarly inspired, I don't know what is, you know. That's which I, you know, I love that, dude. Like, Midwest emo is so based off of like nostalgia and like what you were and who you want to be, and those two things like clashing. And I love like the idea that people who are even younger than me now, I mean, fuck, I'm 31, and I doubt any of these fucking dudes in Saturday at Your Place are even, they're probably not in their 30s, man. Yeah. But like a band like Carly Cosgrove, it's like, hey, you watched the same shit as I did when I was a kid. That's really cool, and you're taking and naming a band after it.
I'm giving them a live listen right now. I'm currently listening to Tarot Cards.
Ah, yeah, that's a good one. It's a good one. My favorite song by them is Coffee Cups. That song is a fucking banger.
This is Tarot Cards is really nice. Like you said, they've got some of those pop punk inspired sort of licks to their guitar.
Yep.
Which I like, and I'm also loving that I can hear the bass on their fucking track.
Yeah, dude.
Which is a hard thing to find unless you're directly inspired by Blink-182 and you want to be Mark Hoppus.
Yeah, in the pop punk emo world, yeah, it definitely can be.
Yeah, I mean, unless for some reason the bass player is the front man, or for some reason, you know. Which
yeah,
happens.
Algernon Cadwallader. That's They got a bassist as a front man, and they fucking kick ass live, dude. I'm actually trying to go. They're coming to Portland in December, and I'm trying to go see them. So that'd be pretty. That'd be pretty sweet. I just listened to their new fucking album, and it's wild, dude. Like, I did not know they were as politically active as they are, but they have a whole song about the fucking MOVE bombing in Philadelphia in the 80s.
Oh.
Yeah, like a whole fucking song that's just like pretty much telling the story of what happened. And I was like, damn, dude, I'm surprised, because not like I thought they were a bunch of like fucking alt-writers or whatever, but it was just, I didn't realize that, that Algernon was so, you know, so politically active. I thought that was really cool. They got a whole nother song about how like capitalism isn't broken. It's working exactly how it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not the most, poetic lyrics in the world, but, still it was cool. It was cool. So they're touring off of their new album. So, you know, the emo summer never stopped. We're going into emo fall.
Yeah, emo summer's been lasting for like 3 years now.
Yeah, oh, not quite.
It's a sexy guitar in coffee cups.
Oh yeah, it is.
I like it. I like it. I am gonna add these to my. I'm gonna add this to my emo playlist.
Fuck yeah, dude! Listen to that a year when you want to get sad.
Yeah, it's just you and like JD are like Eiffel towering me with music somehow. Because JD sent me a band that I got really obsessed with at one point. I cannot remember the band's name, so how obsessed with them am I? But yeah, JD literally at one point just JD randomly texts me sometimes, and I'm just like, oh, hey, you, what's going on? And then they're like, here's this thing that's going to change your life. Bye now. I'm like, all right, buddy, you keep on having a kid.
That's a very JD thing to do.
It is, isn't it? I've noticed that's kind of his it's kind of his play, is to just show up and then say Bearings. It was Bearings, by the way.
Oh, yep. He tried to turn me onto them too.
Ah, no, didn't take.
I guess not. I'm not sure if I really gave him an honest try, to be completely fair. But yeah,
I liked that. I liked Bearings. I was gonna go see one of their concerts. I really like it though, but it is definitely more on the pop punk than the emo side of anything.
Sure. Yeah. JD is not much of an emo boy. He's more of a pop punk boy for sure.
Yeah, like, what's it? He had, like, he's got all of the Knocked Loose, not Knocked Loose.
No.
Is it? No.
No. He's a big Wonder Years guy.
He's got some, when I was riding with him, he played a lot of not Knocked Loose, but not Wonder Years either.
Was it like, are we talking like pop punk, or are we talking more on the metalcore
like
side?
It was like pop punk.
Story so far, maybe? Neck Deep? I don't know.
Neck Deep. It was Neck Deep.
Yeah, I liked Neck Deep's first album. They're two EPs, technically. Their two EPs are fucking fantastic. I wasn't so much into the stuff they came out with after. Overproduced, in my opinion. I just thought it was too produced. And like their first EPs were so fucking raw, dude. It was that's what I want. Like, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, like, I liked that album that has In Bloom on it. That one I like. That might be one of the problem albums that you're talking about. But I did like the energy and spirit of that album. But I am also, as far as like when you put melodic versus just regular straight up formulaic verse, chorus, verse, you know, I'm going to fall into that spectrum of give me something predictable more so than melodic. Mostly because I am overstimulated, and if you go off the beaten path, and I'm going to get lost and scared, and where's my mommy? I'm very scared. Please help me.
I am overstimulated, so I'm looking for twinkly guitar that makes me feel something.
I'm looking for a melodic guitar that lasts for 7 minutes. I want to forget where I am, and I'm like, me, I'm like, where's the chorus? Is the chorus coming back? I'm scared.
I need to sing the part.
I need something I can sing.
But yeah, dude, anybody who's interested, check out Saturdays at Your Place. They are a solid band, and if our small listenership can get them a little bit more of a listenership, that'll be cool. Tell them the Anime Brothers podcast sent you, and Earthworm thinks they're dope.
Just tell every single person in your life, every single one, that the Anime Brothers sent you for a week. Tell us how that goes for you.
Like, any, honestly, any of the cool things and the things that I'm interested in, like, I know, what, 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon? I can't be that far away from Saturdays at Your Place. One of you motherfuckers knows a guy who knows these guys. Come on, hook it up. Hook a brother up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You knew, you were familiar with Sparks the Rescue somehow, which was weird.
I've actually met their fucking, yes. barely like met him, but yeah, I've met people from Sparks the Rescue.
Yeah, it's so funny that happened because I was like, yeah, I really like Sparks the Rescue, and you're like, oh, I actually met the dude, and I said, oh damn, and you were like, yeah, he does his own single stuff, and I said, oh damn. And then I listened to your guys' NPR music station at one point, and they played his solo stuff, and I said, oh, damn.
It's so fucking funny, dude. Like, I feel bad, kind of, but, you know, they're doing way better than I am, so whatever. But, like, me and Robbie were looking like, huh, Sparks the Rescue's playing the show. What the fuck is that all about? nothing. They're fine. They're fine, guys. Again, doing better than I ever could with music, so, like, fuck them.
Yeah, fair enough. It's spooky season all across the globe, so the ghosts and goblins are out and about. But there's one thing that's scarier than ghouls, and that's bad snacks. But have no fear, because our friends at Tokyo Treat are here to delight, not fright, with their latest snack box.
Tokyo Treat are the leaders in curated Japanese snack boxes, due in part because they bring you the best snacks, and in part because you never know what you're going to get with each theme. Like this month's theme, Snacktacular Halloween. This month's snacks are all about fantastic flavors sure to fill you with haunted holiday vibes and frightful fun.
Themes are one thing. Snacks, they're another. Tokyo Treat packs each box with limited edition snacks specially curated for each box. And this month, it's obviously no exception. We're talking about apple pie Kit Kats packed with the warm flavors of apple pie, bold garlic chips that have a savory shrimp finish, and crispy, crunchy berry pie bites. There's also my favorite of this month, a sweet Halloween custard cake. It's soft and it's sweet. What more do you need out of a snack? Nothing, I'll tell you that right now.
Now, those snacks do sound awesome, but I just got my test results in, and it shows here that I'm allergic to fuchsia dye 197. I can eat purple dye 197, indigo dye 197, but fuchsia dye 197 is a no-go. That's great for me, because Tokyo Treat boxes are always packed with a handy and quite possibly dandy booklet that has allergen information, so you and I always know that we're snacking safely. You a vegetarian? That's cool, because it'll tell you if this fits your diet as well.
But me? I'm only allergic to two things. Success and the toilet seats at gas stations. Both of these things, not commonly found in snacks, though. And that's cool, because each booklet contains fun trivia, so I'm snacking and I'm learning, and I need learning. Anyways, did you know that there's an actual attraction you can visit in Japan called the Daiba Ghost School? That's an interactive abandoned school meant to evoke those classic J-horror vibes, kind of like Ringu, Corpse Party? I didn't know that, but then I read my booklet, and now I know.
And knowing is 1/10 of the battle. The other 9/10 is being prepared. And speaking of being prepared, Tokyo Treat has prepared a special discount code for us to help you save $5 off your first box. That code is Anime Brothers, all one word, and you can just enter it at checkout and you're going to be headed straight to snacking and saving.
Typing is hard though, and we've got you covered. On whatever platform you're listening to this episode on, there will be a link that all you have to do is tap if you're on your phone or click if you're on your computer, and you'll be right at Tokyo Treat's website with our coupon code already applied at checkout.
One of the best things about Tokyo Treat, though, is that you don't have to get one just for yourself. They come in colorful packaging that makes them fun to share or gift. You got an anime-loving friend that you don't know what to get a birthday present for? Tokyo Treat Box. You got an uncle who just came back from Japan who wants to experience the flavors all over again? Tokyo Treat Box. You got a neighbor who watched your leopard gecko colony as they all molted at the same time? Tokyo Treat Box.
We love Tokyo Treat, and we're so sure that you will too. So just pause the episode right now. We'll be waiting for you. Go get yourself a snack box and tell them that the Anime Brothers sent you. I mean, literally do that so that they know we're not just eating the snacks and running like they're good snacks. And I don't want them to think I'm not doing my part.
Thank you so much to our friends at Tokyo Treat. Reminder, that coupon code is Anime Brothers, all one word. Literally the name of the podcast, enter it at checkout or touch and click our handy dandy link in the show notes below so you can avoid all that extra typing. One more shout out to Tokyo Treat. Now let's get back to the episode. Yeah, but I'll stop talking about my emo fall. But Halloweemo, maybe. Maybe there's something there. Matt, you want to talk about some more anime?
You know it. I'm here to talk anime. That's all I'm here for. I'm the anime. You're the brother. Anyways, getting on topical stuffs are people that are doing way better than us. So Gigic put out a new short film called Bon. It was actually supposed to be one of the partial topics for this episode, but it didn't happen.
I'll fall on that sword. I did a forgetty.
Yeah, it's fine. You're not missing much. Okay, so Bon is a short 18-minute long short film inspired by Mr. Gigic's Southeastern heritage. Or it's not Southeastern Asian heritage. Southeastern heritage would be my heritage anyways, beside the point. Inspired by their heritage. And it's really cool. It's really cool in premise. I did not enjoy the execution, to be honest with you. I didn't think it's an isekai, reverse isekai at the same time. And it's also got I don't know if it's supposed to be a twist or if I'm supposed to be emotionally resonated by the third act of this short film, but it did not work for me. It's a pretty it's pretty. Not revolutionary on animation, but for some reason, it's got Kevin Pinkin doing the music for it. Kevin Pinkin doing the music for Made in Abyss, a few other Apothecary Diaries. Honestly, Kevin Pinkin, if he is doing any soundtrack for anything you're watching, you are going to get a damn good soundtrack. You are going to get some amazing music. And so the music in Bon is worth the price of admission. The admission is free because it's on YouTube for free. You just you'll get jump scared midway through by an ad for auto insurance, which is what happened to me. But yeah, the music, stellar music. Kevin Pinkin did it again. I'm butchering their name probably, but it was a great soundtrack. Everything else did not really hit for me. The story was not like, I get what the story is supposed to be about. You've got a male character and a female character, the male character being from the human world, the female character being from the fairy world on the other side, and they crossways, and they're basically going and abandoning their homes to go to someplace new and live out of their parents' shadow and out of the shadow of safety that accompanies them when you stay home. And that's probably related to Mr. I don't know much about Gigic as far as their backstory was. I watched a lot of Gigic back when Audrey and I were in college. And back when we were hanging out regularly, we watched Gigic pretty regularly, but I've really fallen off in the past 6 or 7 years because now if I want anime opinions, I just turn to my friends, you know? Yeah. I don't go to any content creators. I just go to my friends because they're the people whose opinion on this media I care about. So if you want me to care about your takes in anime, become my friend. It's as easy as that.
Hell yeah,
that's how you do it. That's how you do it. You want me to give a shit about your anime opinion? You got to be my friend first. It's a contract, really, truly.
I mean, I think it's cool, you know, especially that I think the scope of it is what I really respect, that it is a short film, that it's 20 minutes, that I think it could have rubbed some people the wrong way if Gigguk was walking through and being like, I'm going to produce an entire season of anime or I'm going to produce a feature-length film. But no, I even if the execution wasn't there, which I'm not super surprised. You know, I got nothing against Gigguk, but he's never been one of my favorite dudes. He's just very neutral on him. But the fact that someone's taking and giving a shot at like a medium, like you were saying about a couple weeks ago on the Princess Tutu episode, I believe, about Tommy Wiseau and like making a fucking terrible movie. And not that Bon is a terrible short film, making a terrible movie. But simply doing it because he wanted to do it kind of his way and, like, regardless of the outcome, like, it is his, you know, regardless of the outcome, regardless of whether or not people really resonate with it, you know, Gigguk can look back on himself and be like, I got to participate in the medium that has brought me so much joy. I got to give it the fucking go. And maybe he takes this and learns from it. And who knows, maybe in 10 years we have, like, legitimately good animation being directed by Gigguk. But even if not, I still think it's cool that he got a chance, you know, to kind of live out his dream, I guess, in a certain way. Not that he's not already doing that by, you know, making millions talking about anime. Yeah. All that's nice. You know, all that has given him the privilege to be able to create his own thing. But still, I think that's cool. It's not like he's using his privilege to fucking take down minorities or whatever. He's making an anime.
Yeah, well, that's what I, there's so much I can praise about what Gigic did with this short film, really and truly. I think that they had a message, they had a vision for what they wanted to do for this short film. I see what they are trying to do with the short film, and I love, on paper, I love that they're taking elements of their culture from where their home and making it into an anime, because how many times do you really see Southeastern Asian culture implemented in anime? It's rare, you know?
If I've seen it, I have not been aware.
But that's all on paper. Unfortunately, a lot of games are not played on paper. They're played on grass. And this game is played on grass, you know? And to me, and this is me, I don't know Gigic. I doubt I'll ever meet Gigic, honestly. Well, you know what? That's actually a lie. I actually did meet Gigic once at a con.
Oh,
all right,
shit.
Gigic, I'm sorry, buddy. Hate you had to find out this way. He doesn't give a shit. Anyways, but I found it overindulgent in some regards, you know? I found that it obviously, because it's a short film, it's not going to lore dump on you. It's not going to say, like, this world is a world where... It doesn't. You have to kind of... I think the actual other world is called Euthania. It's really close to euthanasia, which made me go, okay. Is there symbolism here, Gigic? Or did you think that sounded fantasy? Because I thought it was, I'm going to assisted suicide land. Let's go. But I thought it was a little bit overindulgent. I didn't really, obviously, with the short time that you have with these characters, they cannot carry the film. And it's obvious that they do not succeed in carrying the film, because the fairy girl is kind of just like, oh, I'm using magic when I shouldn't use magic. Look at me using magic. I'm really unsure about myself. I'm living by myself and I don't know what I'm doing. And the guy is just, I make food. And that is my character arc. I make food and I don't like my mother. And I said, well, okay, dude. All right. Good writing, I guess. But short film, the story is going to have to be what the vehicle that moves along everything more so than the characters. You know, you can't be character driven when you really aren't going to know too much about these characters in 18 minutes. So it's a very, it tries to be show, don't tell, but instead it just doesn't show and it doesn't really tell either, at least my perspective. But acclaim where acclaim's due. He did it. He did the thing. He did the thing. He got it there. And I can't take that away from him. But I didn't really enjoy it. And I watched it twice just because after the end I said, oh, okay, all right. So this is how these things tie together. Okay, that makes sense. I'll watch it again, see if that changes my read into this short film. And it didn't. I just said, damn. The only thing I took away from a second watch is, good Lord, Kevin Pinkin, you are a god of music.
Yeah. Yeah. It helps to be homies with people who make good shit, you know? Because I doubt just a popular YouTuber could, but because... Gigak has kind of, through Trash Taste and moving to Japan and like getting to really know some of these people, having him on the fucking show and whatever, like he's made some powerful friends in the anime industry, and he seems to be using it for at least neutral gains, if not good. Yeah.
Well, I think it would be any person who loves this who loves the hobby, the anime, would love to make their own anime. I mean, I can fully confess that I've had my own ideas for what I would love to make an anime about. I think a lot of people have that, you know, who get into this medium. So it's cool to see that he did it. And I think there's a lot of, I was reading reviews before the record, because I was kind of seeing if I was in the wrong or if there was a consensus about this. But a lot of people are really touched by it. A lot of people are kind of echoing the same thing as me. It's okay. The music is really good.
Okay.
There's something that could be here, but it's just not. And then there's some people who are just like, yo, this is the greatest thing ever. And I don't know where that's coming from. Honestly.
I mean, I assume a lot of that's because their favorite creator made something, you know what I mean? But it's all good.
That's fair. I don't know. You know, that's fair. But I, at the same time, I'm also, I don't know. But for me, 5 out of 10. It's average. I wouldn't watch it again. I would listen to the soundtrack again, though. So that's all I got from it. And if Mr. Gigic somehow listens, then I love what you did there. I just wish I liked it more. That's it for me. As far as this incident goes, it's your time. Call of Cthulhu. Call of Cthulhu. Where have I heard that before?
It's probably because I strong-armed you into playing a game.
Oh, that's right. You got me. That's right. You did do that.
Yep. Yeah, that's the last, what we did last night. I had a little session zero with Maddie and a couple other homies. I don't know why I feel weird about being like, I'm playing with these specific people, but
it's Danny and Ricky.
They're gonna know that I told people we're hanging out, and they're gonna be like, hey, don't do that, because we don't like you like that, okay? So, like, you can't tell people we're hanging out, because we're cool and you're not.
Ricky's gonna get on his platform and tell everybody, oh, no.
He's gonna back up Weebology just to make an episode tell people that I suck.
He's gonna be like, Ethan, we gotta get out of retirement. Fuck Earthworm.
Yeah. He maybe plays a stupid fucking game. I'm gonna make this stupid character. That's my insecurities.
Now everybody fucking knows we're friends. So fucking gross. And Danny from Anime Summit and I are besties. So, you know, there's that.
Clearly. You guys are homies. Yeah, no,
besties.
I'm super excited, though. It's so funny. So I put out the call to our Discord with all the podcasts that, you know, we hang out with and stuff. I put out the call for Call of Cthulhu. I'm like, does anyone want to play? I really want to play. My group's going back to D&D. I don't want to play D&D as much. I want to play Call of Cthulhu. So I put out the call, and I got, you know, enough people wrangled up. And then, it's so fucking funny, JD joined our D&D campaign, and we really wanted to... He tried joining before, but his schedule just, it got fucky. And we really wanted to make it so he could be there every week. So we're like, all right, we'll do D&D every other week. So we're sitting around going like, well, what do you guys want to do in the off weeks? And everybody's like, well, I had a lot of fun playing Call of Cthulhu. And I'm like, you know what, man? Yeah, let's fucking double down on this obsession until it absolutely burns out. And I hate role-playing games. So I'm going to be running, I don't know, within a month, probably at least 2, maybe 4 Call of Cthulhu games. It's going to be great. I'm super excited. I'm going to get to really fucking nail in my DM chops, my keeper chops, not a dungeon master. If you're in a dungeon in Call of Cthulhu, you're in a bad fucking spot. You're probably not crawling. You're legitimately crawling your way out of that one.
Hmm. Noted.
Yeah. No, I'm excited, though, man. I apologize. I know you're not the biggest role-playing game guy, but I do think that I'm going to be able... I'm the best fucking keeper ever, bro. I'm the best game master, but I think I'm going to be able to get you invested.
I sure hope you are. I sure hope you are. Because like you said, I am not a very good tabletop RPG person. I will either get bored, or I will get distracted, or somebody will irk me, and then I will be out. Unfortunately for me, Ricky and Danny are both pretty fun to talk to and hang out with, so it looks like it's going to be a pretty fun little group. We were having I was laughing a good bit. I thought it was pretty funny, at least before it, just the fuck it. I got to do more fucking math.
Yeah, there's in the character creation, there's a lot of math. There's a lot of multiplying. What do you mean multiplying?
I'm not calling her out because this was really funny.
No, it was funny. Because
it was so funny. She was like, Danny, how did you get a? How did you not get a multiple of 5?
Yeah.
She's like, I did the multiplication. She's like, got 63.
Oh, it's so
Ricky
funny.
And I are like,
Hold on a minute.
Something adding up to your chief now. But
Danny pulled out the fucking blade because, like, I in the description I gave, I was like, there's almost no math involved, unlike D&D. And then when I'm like, you know, we're all character creating, I'm like, okay, roll 3d6 and multiply it by 5. And Danny's like, what do you mean? I got to pull out the what the fuck do you mean? I was like, I'm sorry, I lied. There's a lot of math in the beginning.
And I literally pulled up without a dice. I said, oh, shit, I'm supposed to have a dice? Oh, yeah. Die? Okay. All shit, right, big ask. And then you're like, you got to read a book, too. And I said, oh, hell.
Oh, so the Investigator's Handbook for the players of Call of Cthulhu, like the second chapter in after like the introduction is an entire Lovecraft story, the Dunwich Horror. And both times, like my first group, when everybody was like, holy shit, there's a lot in this book. I'm like, yeah, you can skip past it to like at fucking page 30 or whatever. I'm not going to make you read an entire short story, but I think it would be funny as hell if at session zero, I was like, all right, everybody open up your books. All right, we're going to read the Dunwich Horror so you really understand what Lovecraft's all about.
And
mandatory.
And then you're just like, I'm also going to say racial slurs so you really get what Lovecraft was all about.
Yes, you are not. As Lovecraft said to his wife, you are not Jewish. You are a Lovecraft.
good Lord, Lovecraft, what is going on with you, dude? But so yeah, she was a
full-blown Jewish woman too, and he's like, not anymore, you're not.
I'm getting the Jew out of you.
Fucking insane, man, dude. But created some of the best horror. Like, I love cosmic horror, dude. Like, the groundwork for tentacle monsters. So, like, complicated dude.
Well, it turns out that some of the greatest creators of all time are some of the worst people of all time as well. But what can you do about that?
That's how it happens, man. But, the godfather of hentai, can we really expect anything else?
Yeah, man really did say, what if octopus caused you to go insane? And we ate it up, didn't we?
And then the Japanese were like, through sexualness, right? And Lovecraft in his grave was like, I didn't think that, but sure, man.
Well, I'm sure he did not. I'm sure he said some slurs about the Japanese in the process of that. But yeah, no, it was the Session Zero was fun. We were banting a lot. Danny's character is really smart. My character is really ugly.
You're unbelievably average.
Yeah, I was like, what a role-play game, playing an average man. Don't get too fancy on me.
Dude, it was cool. Like, shout out to Ricky. That man was going layers deeper than I've ever seen a player go for his character creation. He's like genuinely like thinking out thought processes and stuff. And I'm in awe. I'm sitting back going like, damn, could you join my other group and like inspire some? Not that they're bad at creating characters or whatever. They've actually, my other group, they're really good at like writing out the backstory and whatnot. But like the way he was methodically doing it, I was like, shit, man, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it was kind of hard to not see you two jerking each other off during that entire session, but you know. I also had a good story. I looked up I looked up the region for where my character came from. I gave them a good backstory. I even researched diseases to determine what scarlet determine what that red mark could be. I got it all, but I don't get jerked off, do I? No,
well,
I don't.
You didn't talk about it. You didn't talk out loud. You were silently studying.
I don't like talking about my characters. I literally was like, I should probably think of what I want this guy to look like. So I reached out to my artist friend and said, hey, I want to commission you real quick. You want some quick money? I need you to draw this kind of hobo. And then they said, well, what is the defining features of your hobo? What really defines them as a person? And I just stared off in the space and said, I don't want to commission you anymore.
Dude, I'm so bad at physical descriptions. So in the D&D campaign that we rolled up characters for earlier this week, I fucking literally, my character's name is Chuck Ponzi. Because he's a con man rogue. And instead of like commissioning an artist or whatever, I just went on that fucking website you showed me, Pixlr. Cut a face of fucking Charles Ponzi's. I cut out Charles Ponzi's face and superimposed it on a halfling.
Good Lord.
And in the the physical descriptions, I'm just gonna say see picture, because I'm so bad when I start like, well, he's got a fucking nose and I think two eyes, but like I don't really know. I don't remember. Like, if you ask me, like, you know, we're gonna get off call and you can hit me up and be like, hey man, did I have a clean shaven face or some facial hair? And I'll be like, Matt, I cannot tell you. I don't remember. You simply existed, and then object permanence, bro. You're gone after that.
That is true, though. Who knows what my facial hair looks like.
Yeah, but I'm excited, man. I love Call of Cthulhu. I want to try more role-playing games. I don't like being the guy who's like, come on, guys, let's try this game. Please, please, please. So I would love like an experienced DM to be like, hey, man, come here, you're playing a game of fucking kids on bikes with us, so I can experience them. But between D&D and Call of Cthulhu, I am a big, big, fat slut for Call of Cthulhu, where I don't even know if I like D&D. Like, it's fine, you know what I mean? But if in the grand spectrum of role-playing games, I cannot imagine it will stay my number two after I start racking some more up there.
That's reasonable. Again, there's just so many aspects of tabletop RPGs that just don't hook me in. That lose me, that outright just I don't like, and some of them have just been that I've played with a lot of bad groups or groups that have a person who irk me.
That's tough. Can I ask you, have you ever played anything other than D&D?
I've played Pathfinder.
So D&D, but change the rules.
D&D for turbo nerds.
Yeah, so like I'm similar though. Like, I feel you. I, in the past, have had not a lot of long-term good experiences with D&D. It doesn't usually come down to like a player problem in my experience, but I, like you mentioned, you just kind of get bored. You know what I mean? You're in this fantasy world and neither of us are the biggest fantasy guys. You know, I think we both lean more towards like if we sci-fi fantasy, we'd both pick sci-fi, you know, maybe something like a cyberpunk or a space D&D would vibe more with us. But I was the same way. D&D, it was like, all right, yeah, okay, well, I don't really care about Strahd, you know what I mean? Like, he's a vampire, so what? Like, but in Call of Cthulhu, granted, I've only ever run the game, so maybe from a game master's perspective, because I can see the big picture, it is different, but, like, I have genuine, like, fun from start to finish with Call of Cthulhu, where D&D, it's a lot of peaks and valleys.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I also watched some people at the store I used to work at play the My Little Pony role-playing game, which is a very real thing and very officially licensed.
Okay, so officially licensed, so not as horny as I was worried about.
You were thinking they were going to be something like, and then I took off my magical ringlet, and then we started... No, it was... it is a lot less than that. There are quote-unquote conflicts, but there's not like, you know, it's not like that.
Okay. Officially licensed makes me feel better, because they know who they're selling it to, but they're not willing to sell explicitly that.
I don't know. I like to imagine like a group of 5, 10-year-old girls, and there's just one girl who's got like a dungeon master, a pony master, like, you know, like the shield up or whatever, and she's just like, okay, roll for harmony, and they're like, frick, I only rolled a 6, and they're like, it's the My Little Pony game, you win.
The stable master.
Oh, do not call that.
Is, okay, no, I don't care how fucked up it is, I need to know. What did I just say?
You didn't say anything provocative. Stable master, I just don't like it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there's not like, there might be secret terms. I don't know. I'm not that far deep into it, but, you know, maybe.
I watched, the only thing I know about bronies is Jenny Nicholson's video about the last BronyCon. And I think I've brought that up on the podcast before. But, like, not that she paints it in, like, an evil light or whatever. I feel like she's pretty fair about the whole thing. But, you know, it really makes you think that the iceberg can just keep going.
Yeah, well, you know, I was into it for a couple of years. That's, you know, how I met Audrey, honestly. But it gets deeper. It's like any hobby. If you get too deep into it, you're going to lose yourself. I mean, there's stuff like Fallout Equestria, this long, just really like the longest piece of literature out there. And it's just a fan fiction about Fallout, the game Fallout mixed with ponies, you know.
Is that the one that just got taken down recently?
I don't know.
I saw something on Reddit. We're on a tangent now. We can get on to another topic soon. I saw something on Reddit about the longest piece of literature ever written being taken down from the internet. And it was a piece of fan art or something. I don't know if it was that one specifically, but yeah.
I don't think it is. That place is, it's hosted in a billion places though. So I don't think it'll ever be truly gone.
We can hope not, man.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right, well, I'll stop talking about tabletop RPGs. I'm a big old nerd, and we're about to have some fun.
And I'm glad. I'm happy. I for my friends, I would do anything, even things that I'm not, like, entirely stoked on.
Listen, man, I just want you to try it once. One scenario, if you don't have fun, you can stop. I won't even ask you to play anymore. Fucking full stop. Like, it's cool.
This is how this you hear this, guys, you hear how this dude's talking? I'm going to go up there in October and I'm going to come back and I'm like, that man made me try every single drug under the sun with this. Just once. I just want to see what your feedback is. And I'm going to be like, he made me eat dirt. He said that the main dirt would give me superpowers. And I woke up and spoke to the main god. The main god is a moose that's got a whoopie pies for ass cheeks
and lobster claws for hands.
Crazy. The main god is really crazy. Really, like, crazy, dude.
Kind of like the god from South Park, but really Maine related.
It's going to be like, that's going to be our Yellow Jackets moment. It's when we're trapped in the wilderness. We're going to see the main god, and I'm going to be like, well, he said eat you, Earthworm. I have no, there's nothing I can do here.
No, honestly, you got to listen to that guy.
Yeah, I got to listen to him. I mean, did you see his ass cheeks? They were mint flavored whoopie pies. Oh man, I'm stoked on that. That whoopie pie I had, the maple flavored one, all that shit was so good. Anyways, anime,
yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, Anime Brothers. Yeah, you got a couple more things on the dock. I am fresh out of shit on the dock. So all you, buddy.
Oh yeah, I got a few more anime I want to kind of talk about. It turns out that even when I'm watching anime for the podcast, I'm watching other anime not for the podcast. Basically knocked out the second season of Spy Family, like not the second part of the second part of the first season, whatever hellscape we're currently living that we're animated to. Yeah, okay. So Kiri was just, let's put on anime. We finished the second season of My Dress Up Darling. I was going through our queue because I was like, well, what else do we have to watch? And then I saw the second season of Spy Family. I said, I really like Spy Family. Why didn't we watch this season? And she said, I don't know. And so we watched it in a long session. And I still attest that I don't know why people hate on Spy Family. I've never understood it. How can you hate on Spy Family? It is so funny. It is so consistently charming.
It's a popularity thing. People like the same reason why like people would like, I don't know, shit on Demon, like why we were like Demon Slayer fucking is not that great. Because what, like if you go into Demon Slayer for pretty fucking pretty lights and pretty fights, you're going to have a great time. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. If you go into Spy Family for what Spy Family's given you, it's fucking great. But if you're like, they're not progressing the plot along in this pseudo slice of life comedy anime, garbage.
Yeah, I'm not, but that's my thing. At this point, after the second part of the first season, I'm not there for that. I'm there for when Bond shows up. When Bond shows up, I'm having a great time.
Borf,
when
baby.
Bond is. You know what time it is.
Ah, Borfin time.
Going a Borf, baby. We're so fucking back.
Hold on. Actually, can you hit that artist friend back up and ask them if they'll commission me 5 Bonds about like looking like Power Rangers, and they say, it's Borfin time.
That's going to... I don't know if they can draw dogs, but I'll get them on the line.
All right. Yeah. Honestly, any artist out there, like I'm not asking for a free piece of fan art. I'll pay you for this. I don't have any money to go around right now. I'll rob a Brinks truck. We'll figure it out.
I might help. You know, I might help with that.
Somebody's got to take those fuckers down a peg.
I've always wanted to be involved with my own Reservoir Dogs moment. I've always wanted to cut off an ear. Is that okay? Is that saying?
Yeah. No, I don't know. I've never seen Reservoir Dogs, and that's something that JD's
really?
Still mad. Yeah. I don't know. Quentin Tarantino, I don't go out of my way to watch his movies. You know what I mean?
No, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I like Tarantino, but
he's fine.
He's okay.
He's a strange cat, real strange cat.
Yeah, he's a strange dude, but you know, he's also a dude. He's like a Kevin Smith who knows what he wants. You know, Kevin Smith just does whatever, and I'm supposed to just enjoy Moose Jaws. No, thank you. No, thank you, Kevin Smith.
I also worry that if you told him that there's more anime out there than fucking Ninja Scroll, he'd be like, "What do you mean?" There's more.
I don't understand.
No, he's more cultured. Anyway, Spy Family.
Yeah, Spy Family. I was surprised because I forget how much I love Spy Family. It consistently made me laugh, and it did get me really teary-eyed at the end with the episode involving Bond. Just a Bond episode. Just give me Bond episodes, okay? He is on my mal as one of my favorite characters for a reason. I love this dude. When he got wet, I was in tears. I love Bond. If you gave me one of those like 3-minute long mini shows, you know, the kind where it's just the daily life of Bond Forger.
Oh, yeah.
10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. I don't give a single flip if it's just him just sitting in front of the TV. As long as I got Borf on the screen, I'm good. Do I got a little bit of the tism? My mom took a good bit of Tylenol. Jokes. So I'd be down for it. I'd be down for more Bond, and I got more Bond, and I got more laughs, and I don't care if the story just stays stagnant forever. I'm a Kaguya-sama fan. You know what I'm about.
Oh, yeah.
Just be funny, and that's all I ask of you is be funny.
Yeah, just and be consistently Spy Family.
Just be Spy Family. Just give me the jokes I love. Give me the Anya not understanding what she's saying. Give me the Anya being dumb. Give me the Lloyd overthinking things because he's a spy. Give me the Yor overpowering everything out of nowhere and creeping everybody out as she jumps, gosh, I can't even remember what I'm trying to say. multiple story buildings in a single bound.
Like, oh, yeah.
Full on like a Superman and jumps over entire buildings and everybody's going crazy about it. So I'm just more for it. And Spy Family is coming out next season too. So never a better time to be indulged in the Spy Family universe.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. Me and Kelly were on the Spy Family thing for a little while. I think we stopped right at the beginning of the second season. So
yeah,
maybe we'll check it out. Maybe we'll give it a watch.
Last time I came, when I came down, you guys were watching Spy Family in JD's basement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was there. I was there for that. We watched together, and I said, oh, man, I love Spy Family.
Yeah, so it's been a minute.
It has been a minute. You guys have, you've been a minute. But I get it, too, you know. I just, again, it was Kiri who prompted me to watch it, and I'm glad she did, because now I can watch another seasonal. And also, I really like Spy Family, so hey.
Hell yeah.
I gotta get me some Bond stuff is what I do. I need more Bond merch. I don't have any Bond merch, so I need Bond stuff, okay? That's my guy.
I have a Bond. Kelly actually has a Bond figure. It's sitting in the living room.
Aww.
Yeah, it's got Anya hugging him. It's very cute.
Oh my god, I love it already. Yeah, that checks out, but Kelly also loves dogs, works with dogs, so.
Yeah, she's big. She fell right in love with Anya, too, and I'm like, hey, you just wait. There's gonna be another character who you're gonna love more. And then Bond shows up. She's like, ah, I love him. They're best friends.
Oh, I love him too. I love him so, so much. I just love this dude. There's a reason why we got to throw Borfs every episode.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of which, it's been a minute since we've had a Borf. Throw it again. Throw in another one.
We literally just had a Borf like 10 minutes ago.
I don't care. Throw in another Borf.
Borf.
My favorite thing is cutting out when you tell me to throw a Borf in because it's just in some like banter that we got to cut out or whatever. And then I put the Borf in anyway, so it's just Phantom Borf.
Yeah, if you ever hear a Borf and there's no context for it, it's because of that.
Yeah, it's like our, like, hang in there, baby, fucking screen for a minute, you know? It's that for the podcast.
Because there was a time, I guess we're just tangenting it up, I was messaging you about something, we were talking about something casually, and I said, hey, just go, whatever you're doing right now, throw in a Borf.
Yeah, you did.
And there was an episode I was listening back to see if I sounded as cool as I think I am, and I just heard a Borf, and I said, ah. There it is.
He's texting me on Sunday morning, dude. You caught me at the right time.
We have fun here.
It helps that it's like alphabetically, it's right at the top of the sound bits folder. I don't have it's so easy. I don't have to go search for it, man. It's just sound bits folder, Borf. Easy.
I like that it's just Borf. Oh man. Oh man, but yeah, Spy Family. Watch some more of that. I've been doing my seasonal crank out. I'm glad that we are holding off another week because that means that I get to finish Silent Witch or Secrets of the Silent Witch and Kaiju Number 8. Another anime that I forget I really like until I'm watching it. So I just at work was bored and I said, well, I guess since we're holding it off for another week, I can actually finish Kaiju Number 8. So I might as well start it. And I knocked out 5 episodes of Kaiju Number 8 saying, like, damn, why do I like this anime so much? But as soon as it's out of my vision, I forget about it.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, I mean, Kaiju Number 8 is, it's production IG. It's beautiful. It's got an actual main character who's within our age bracket. Like, Kafka is, like, in his 30s.
Oh.
And it's, yeah, I think you would like.
I would, too. I like Kaiju. I like Kaiju stuff. Like, everything that, even things that people have complained about Kaiju Number 8, I'm sitting back going, that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, Kaiju Number 8 is it's a pretty fun watch, honestly. The main character, Kafka Hibino, he's in his 30s. He gave up on his job, of his dreams of being in the Special Defense Force. He's just resigned himself to be a cleaner of Kaiju parts. And then things happen, and he gets to join the Special Defense Force, and it's all about not giving up on your dreams. And, you know, and he's in his 30s, and he is alongside people in there that are young adults, you know? And he's struggling physically to keep up with them. And I enjoy that, because it's not just, yes, your willpower will get you all the way. Yes, you are going to survive, because you have got the ambition. No, Kafka is already being held up by his physical restraints, and even when he gets his kaiju powers, he's still not the ace, like, not the ace in the hole, you know?
Yeah, he's just a dude.
He's just a dude, and that was when I was going to shrug off Kaiju Number 8, because here, the premise is, average person who hates kaiju becomes a kaiju. I'm like, where have we heard that before? you know, I'm talking about some titans, you know, so yeah. It becomes large too, so I wrote off Kaiju Number 8 when it first came out, and then I just gave it a chance because I was bored one humble weekend. And I'm glad I did, because I do really enjoy it when I'm watching it. It's pretty to watch. For some reason, every single ED they use is One Republic, which is weird. Both EDs are by One Republic. You know, the it's too late to apologize.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think they do that.
I think you're right. I know the Silverstein cover better than the original.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's One Republic and Timbaland. Well, I can't forget about Timbaland.
What? No, absolutely not.
What are the other One Republic songs, now that I'm thinking about it?
Isn't there a song that's like, we'll be counting dollars, we'll be counting stars.
Yeah, that song.
That song was popping off, like 2014 or whatever. That was a bop.
Yeah, that song plagued the radio unrelentingly. They also did that that other song, Stop and Stare. I don't know. Yeah, that song.
Oh, shit. Wow. One Republic out here killing it, dude.
Yeah, One Republic doing EDs for Kaiju number 8 as well. That first ED was a really good bop, though. I really liked that that first ED, honestly.
We get all the, like, American band or, like, English-speaking band EDs and OPs. We put them all in arena, and they fight. I think the guys from Yes are really old right now, so that's going to be difficult for them. But I believe in them.
I believe in them, too. I mean, Youngblood did the first... I don't, like, know if you know who that is, but first... Yeah, they did the first Kaiju number 8 OP as well, and it was also kind of a bop.
I dig that, man. I've never listened to Youngblood, but I love that, like, the fucking emo, goth, pop punk, metalcore is all getting infused with rap. I loved how that was happening kind of right around, like, right before 2020 and beyond. I thought that was a really cool... Might not be my bag, specifically, but I love musical fusion. Like, when somebody's like, I want to be a rapper or whatever, I don't know if technically, if I don't know what you would consider Youngblood. Again, never listened to them. But I do have heard people, like, explain, like, they are a straight-up fucking pop-punk kid coming and making a different style of music with their influences on their sleeve. Really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've only really listened to them from Kaiju number 8, so I don't know too much, but... I think it's cool when we get to see, like English singers. Like, you know, I don't like they're from England, I think. So I think it's cool to see them hop the pond or whatever, get there. You know what I'm talking about, all right? You know what I'm talking
about. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So I think it's cool, and I like Kaiju number 8, and I'm glad I'm gonna get to talk about it, and I'm glad that I get to watch it again. An anime that I think that would be a good tangential episode to do at some point. Anime we forget about when we're not watching it. Our listeners are just like, this is a really weird 300 episode special.
Yeah. It's weird because Earthworm keeps bringing up Evangelion is the fact that he doesn't forget about it. And that's not the episode topic.
Like, I did he read the dog? Now he's talking about Gurren Lagann and I am over here. And it's just, yeah, I really forget about this anime. And you're like, oh, that's cool. By the way, I forget that Evangelion has a compilation film. You remember that?
Yeah. I've never actually watched that one. Anyway,
it's cool. I'm really stoked on this season, as we're gonna find out whenever the seasonal episode drops. So I'm really stoked on it. I've not had a stinker yet, and I watched my dress up, darling. So you know I was watching the stink. No, it was pretty good actually.
Hell yeah, brother!
I enjoyed it at least. But yeah, I'm stoked on anime right now. I'm also I'm an anime fiend. When I get into anime. But my last topic, I don't want to have the talking stick for too long. We're getting to a fucking hour and 30 minutes. Good lord! Well, I guess we don't have to do the check-in. So what does it matter? Well, I guess I'm just going to polish this off by saying that I've played Spider-Man. I'm starting to play Spider-Man, Marvel Spider-Man for PlayStation. I forget how good that game is, but at the same time, it personifies what I hate about the gaming industry as well. Because I bought the game when it came out on PlayStation 4 because I was stoked. I love Spider-Man. I used to have Spider-Man posters, wall decals all in my room when I was a little kid when the Sam Raimi Spider-Man films come out. Actually, tomorrow when this episode comes out, or I will have already seen it, but Spider-Man 2 is coming to theaters again, which is that's like one of my top 10 movies of all time. If that tells you anything about me as a person, that Spider-Man 2 is, I consider, the pinnacle of cinema, but it is an unfortunate fact. I do not think there is a better a superhero movie. I don't care what you say. If you say, well, No Way Home or this is actually... No, it's not. Spider-Man 2 is the peak. It is the pinnacle of superhero storytelling. If you want to argue with me, that's fine. I'm not going to relent on this because it knows it's a superhero film. It indulges in the fact that it's a superhero film. But at the same time, it has the kind of heart that you would never catch in an actual comic book, which I find so overwhelmingly adorable. It is such a perfect film. Sam Raimi, you are a monster. I would love to meet you, because how do you make Evil Dead then make Spider-Man 2?
You know what? God. All I have to say about that is, oh my God, it's Alfred Molina.
Dr. Octagonopus, blur. I'm a farmer, life.
If you get that reference, don't worry. Retirement's right around the corner.
Check your mail. Your AARP forms are already there.
Genuinely, the pre-sign-up is there, brother.
Get your 60-cent coffee before that's suddenly illegal, too.
Awesome. Cool, man. Yeah. I want to check out Spider-Man. I like Spider-Man. I like just swinging around and whatever. It sounds really cool. I've never checked it out. I have PS Plus now, so maybe that I should put that on the list of shit I should fuck around with.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing Ratchet & Clank. That same developer, Insomniac Games, so.
Yes, very good. Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
I like it. The things I don't like about it, though, are, you know, the common criticism of what's an open world game except a game where you travel from story beat to story beat, and that's considered part of the game. But Spider-Man swinging is so much fun that I forgot that there's fast travel. And then when the game made me fast travel, I said, I don't want to do that. I want to swing around. I want to do stupid tricks. I want to get low to the ground, dive, swing above a person, run off the walls, run through a fire escape. Jump off one wall, roll through a roof, and then jump off it. I want to do this. I don't want to fast travel, okay?
You're not one of those madmen who turns off swing assist, are you?
What is swing assist?
Well, I don't know if it's like a setting or whatever, but I've seen like YouTube videos about people. You can like fuck with the settings on the swing. So normally it's like you're Spider-Man. You don't want to worry too much about the actual physics of it. You fucking throw your web up there and it can grab onto like nothing and you'll swing forward most of the time. Mm. But I guess you can fuck with the settings to where it's like genuine physics. So what you grab onto, like you swing like you would if you were attached to a rope. Huh. And it's way fucking harder, dude. Like I've seen people do it and they're just looking like complete dumbasses swinging right into buildings and shit.
I would probably have turned that off at some point if I knew about it, just to see what it was like. But then that'd make me feel really stupid if I did that, so I probably would hate it. But
yeah, I don't know if it's like it's simple setting or if it's like you got to take all the sliders and turn them down to zero. But yeah, dude, I've seen people do it, and it's just like it really ruins the immersion of being Spider-Man.
Well, that's the one thing I do like about this Marvel Spider-Man as a game is that if you do something like you go to Central Park, you do not swing over Central Park. You have nothing to swing onto. So I hope you like swinging through trees.
Yeah, fair.
Because that's what you're going to do. And I love that about it. I do enjoy the combat system, but as anybody who's played any video games in the 2010s, 2020s will tell you, is a lot of games are taking inspiration from the Batman Arkham games, and Spider-Man is no exception. I forget I have gadgets until the game says, you must web up two people to get A rank. And I say, okay, I guess I'll web them up instead of punching them off a building. Loser. Which, another cool thing, if you punch them off the building, Spider-Man doesn't kill, so they just get webbed onto the side of a building, where they eventually die because they're suspended 50, like a mile above, not a mile, maybe like 50 feet above, you know, the ground. And how are they going to get him down from that? There's no way.
Spider-Man cost the fire department so much money and resources.
It's not the police that hate Spider-Man, it's the fire department. I've got to get this convicted killer off the side of the Empire State Building. This is so dumb. I hate you, Spider-Man.
Right? The fuck, man. Awesome. Well, it sounds like we've both been up to some fun stuff. Hopefully, listener, you enjoyed this episode, and hopefully you are rip-roaring excited for the seasonal episode and our uber special themed month coming up, which I don't know if we've revealed it, but I feel like now is a good time to do that.
Ooh.
October is going to be a month dedicated to the works of one Hiroyuki Imaishi.
Yay. We are
aptly dubbing Imaishi October. I am so fucking excited. We're covering some of our favorite anime that we've watched before and some anime that I know is going to shoot quickly up on the favorites list once I watch it for the first time. Mm-hmm. So I'm fucking hyped. I know Matt's pretty hyped. You're not, might not be as much of an Imaishi slut as I am, but I know you like the guy, so it's going to be a good time.
It's going to be good. We might have some special guests on. We at least got one guest confirmed, and it's, oh, man. Hey, you know, if you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
If you know, if you know, if you know, then you're going to be someone who knows. And if you're someone who knows, then you know what you know. I'm tired of talking.
Yeah, so get excited for that seasonal episode, Imaishi October, both coming up in the near future. But until then, we're going to go ahead and get into the last segment of the podcast. Everything was a filler arc this week, so nothing was canon except this, Patreon rundown.
Need a rundown of your clients? Can you get that to me?
I just need that rundown by.
You started on that rundown yet?
Hello and welcome into the Cream to Poof Rundown, the session of the podcast where we answer questions from patron Cream to Poof. Go check out Anybody's podcast if you want more anime content. Alex is over there killing it with some homies talking about some anime. But yeah, the only two questions we have that I didn't accidentally answer in the chat are from Alex. So Styx, you got your answer. We're just gonna leave it at that. So, Cream to Poof, you get your very own special rundown. I hope you're happy, friend. All right, we're gonna start off with the first question from Cream to Poof. Do you think LeBron could win the hypothetical 2028 election, even if he ran with no platforms, just aura and rings? P.S. He does not retire if he wins. Yeah. Honestly, with our political landscape, yeah, I think if anybody. From a celebrity basis, like The Rock, LeBron, it wouldn't take much for them to win a presidential bid and for us to just slip further into absolute chaos. Not that I think LeBron would be worse than the current regime that we have, which is insane that I have to say that. But I also, you know, what are we doing here? Do I have to join the NBA now? I'm not good at basketball. Do I have to be good at basketball? Do I have to work out like LeBron and take a video of it and then scream when I'm done? Because I'm not good at any of that.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't watch basketball. I'm barely in my fantasy football league now after I've lost 2 weeks in a row. I'm very discouraged.
I told you what's going to happen. It happens.
Listen, all right, you didn't tell me that I was going to be so soul-crushed about this. Who could have predicted that my team losing in a sport would hurt me like this, all right?
I feel like I really tried to express to you how devastating losing in fantasy football can be.
Yeah, I went from fourth place to now I'm like an eight. I give up. Josh Allen, you're no longer my husbando.
Oh, no.
You let me lose, all right, Josh Allen? I know you listen to this podcast. I know you listen while you're out there. Practicing with the Bills, you're like, oh, I gotta get my anime brothers on. All right, listen here, you're not invited to the Christmas party anymore. Sorry, buddy.
Well, like you said, you're this is a social experiment, more so than a fantasy football league. So I wouldn't take this one too seriously.
Don't listen to him, Josh. Take it seriously. Anyways, getting to the point of the matter, I think LeBron could do it. You know. I think LeBron could easily do it. They just go up there and dudes who... He doesn't even have to have a platform. He could just stand across from inevitably J.D. Vance and say... And just throw his hands in the air and bada-bing, bada-boom. How did he win? How did he win Alabama? Who knows?
Yeah, he'll just do that thing where he throws the chalk in the air.
Yeah.
And everybody will be like, farm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, has any of our presidents been to 7 straight NBA championships? I don't think so.
Well, Coolidge did almost get there.
Ah,
he only got 6.
Oh yeah, back when the NBA was a much different beast.
Back when they played with apple baskets and real and armadillo shells. Go get them, boys!
Yeah, it's the game of the future.
The game of the future. The game of the working man. Basket 'em ball. yeah, I think you know what I think he could do it. I don't know anything about Stephen A. Smith, but I watch Stephen A. Smith clips because Twitter's filled with them. I would have voted for Stephen A. Smith, all right?
Oh, no.
Did he do something?
No, he's just a lot of sports fans find him insufferable.
Why? He's so funny.
He says so much shit, dude. Like, it's just, he said so much bullshit throughout his long tenure at ESPN that at some point, if you're a genuine, like, sports fan, like, you'll find something that he said that's like, dude, that is the dumbest thing you've ever said.
But I just see him going like, I like Charizard. You see, he's got the talons. He's got this going on. I like him. I just see him picking Pokemon, you know?
Oh, really? See, that's cool. I didn't know he did that. That's fun. I want to watch
that.
Yeah,
they just, that's like the meme that goes on Twitter. They're like, people call into a show and they're like, hey, Steven, I've got 5 different anime characters. Pick your favorite. And he just breaks them down. He's like, well, this guy, he's got a gun. And we all know that guns kill people. And people die when they are killed.
Oh, send me a clip. Send me one of these next time you come across this. I need to see this.
Have you really not seen the Stephen A. Smith picks out Pokemon thing?
No, I've never seen anything like that.
All right, you know what? Okay, let's. You can cut this out later. I'm about to send you the clip. All right.
Okay.
It's a really short clip. I think this is the one. But you hear him say,
"Charmander."
Charmander.
Is this Pokemon's?
This is Pokemon.
He's actually funny. Oh, that's good. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I like that. Thank you. Thanks for turning me on to that. I'm going to watch the other one later. This is good shit. Awesome. Well, sounds like, Alex, you both know that LeBron has our vote. And we're going to move on to our next question from Cream to Poof. Apple cider donuts versus boiled peanuts. Who's winning? I'm assuming this is a cultural food fight between the two of us. Y'all don't, is apple cider donuts an Alabama thing? Because we got those up here.
Dude, I'd never heard of apple cider donut.
I've never fucked with one. Well, you know, sweet things are more often fucked with. But, I don't know. So it's like two cultural staples that neither of us really fuck with. Do you boiled peanuts? Like, I know you've talked to me about Coke and peanuts and that being weird, but like...
Oh, yeah.
You fuck with boiled peanuts?
If they're the Cajun style, yeah, I fuck with them if they're Cajun style.
Okay. All right. Doechii's song, Boiled Peanuts, is really good.
Oh, well, that is a Southern staple. Like, you know, you could get them like... You know what? Maybe I'll just bring a can and just give them to Kelly. I'm basically going to be like, here, Kelly, experience my culture and then tell Earthworm about it.
Yeah, that's how you do it. That's how you got to do it.
Yeah, boiled peanuts, as long as if they're spicy, they're okay. You can go to basically, and I've talked about this on the pod. I know I've talked about it on the pod. So you can just go to farmers markets, and they'll just be there on like $2 and get you a big cup of them. And but again, I have to have them spicy. I don't like just regular boiled peanuts.
Sure.
There's some people who, absolute madmen, like I said, Pepsi and peanuts, put the Pepsi in the cup, put the peanuts in the cup. And that apparently soaks up the flavor. It is a very Southern thing. Trademark.
Peanut's a big Southern thing, I guess, huh?
Yeah, we do be fucking around with the peanut a lot. I mean, it's one of the few things we can grow down here that isn't cotton. So, you know, we got to take what we can get.
It's wild, too. Oh, go on.
You know, I was like, you can eat cotton. It's just not very enjoyable.
Yeah, no, because like apple cider donuts, I'm pretty sure you can go down to a fucking farmer's market, too. Maybe not year round, but definitely this time of year. Run down to a farmer's market. I guarantee someone got some apple cider, at least apple cider, and maybe some donuts, and maybe you just dip them.
You're fucking right. I have not had New England style cider. You guys are following it up over there. I came down there in the summer, and I didn't get the. All I really got were whoopie pies and clam chowder and lobster roll.
I don't think of apple cider as being like a New England thing, but I guess it is. Yeah, that checks. It's always just been a staple of my life. Like, not that I drink a shit ton of it, but it's always just in the background. Apple cider. It's different than apple juice. I can't explain it.
I could, dude, I know you basically got me for a week. You've got me on lease. That's all that Kiri could afford was to give you a week of me.
Sure.
I've got to get some good apple cider and some apple cider donuts and more whoopie pies. And
it's a bummer you're not coming up. Like, if you were up this week, there are probably... best state fair or whatever. It's called the Freiburg Fair.
Ooh.
We would have taken you up that way. We would have spent a good day up there, seen some fucking cows, gotten some fried dough. Aww. The whole shebang.
Fried dough? Like, is that like a...
Fried dough is not a thing for you guys either?
Funnel cake? Is it a funnel cake?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much exactly funnel cake.
Oh, okay. Yeah, our, you know what? Just worlds apart. Worlds apart.
Yep. Colloquial differences.
But it, I could absolutely go for apple cider donuts. Apple cider. I love apple cider. Hot apple cider gets my dick rock hard.
Hell yeah, dude. I'm gonna have, we're gonna have to go. There's apple orchards all around. We'll be able to get some, oh, get some hot apple cider.
I feel like such a middle-aged person going like, oh, I wanna see an apple orchard. I've never gotten to see one. Can we go apple picking?
Yeah.
Dude, if we can go apple picking, it'll be the best trip ever.
Yeah, if you want to go apple picking, Matt, I will take you apple picking.
Dude, anime brother listeners, is this the most exciting weekend you've ever heard? We're going to go apple picking. No, I'm seriously stoked. There's not too many apple orchards down here, so if I could go apple picking. Does it include the little ladder?
It's been a while since I've been. I don't know if it includes a little ladder. I think the last time I went, the place had just like lacrosse sticks that you would fucking grab an apple with.
I'm looking it up right now when I can go apple picking.
Hell
if
yeah,
I can't
dude.
Go apple picking, I am going to be fussy the entire time.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, what do you want to eat? Some apples, maybe. Come on, man. You just got here. You just got off the plane.
I don't know. Maybe I came down here for the apples. I don't know. Just apples, dude. I don't know.
I don't know, man. Your name is Earthworm. I guess I just assumed you lived in an apple, but fuck me, I guess.
I thought you drove an apple, okay? What? I just thought that's what the culture was. I don't know, man. I don't know. No, I mean, honestly, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get off the plane and be like, where's that giant moose again? I got to see him.
Get off the plane and look down at your phone and be like, is Earthworm on his way to pick me up? I'm gonna be like, oh, I'm like 30 minutes out, and you're just gonna stand there and go, oh.
Well, I mean, it'll be better than when JD had to pick me up, and it was both of us had a vague idea of what the other one looked like, but not too concrete, so
yeah,
it was pretty funny. You should have been there.
Oh god, yeah. Now I know what you look like. Fine, we've been looking at faces for years at this point.
We're very accustomed with each other's face at this point.
Hell yeah. Cool. Well, it sounds like apple cider donuts won that. If I had to pick a winner there, apple cider donuts. Take that, boiled peanuts. Not in my house. So thank you, Alex, for all the questions. And thank you to all our patrons for just being patrons. It means a hell of a lot to us. If you want to join the Patreon, patreon.com/animebrotherspodcast. That is the place to do it. Dollar will get you into everything we do for patrons. If you want to, you know, give us $1 million, I won't say no, but that's not the price of admission, baby. So we're going to go ahead and get out of here after some plugs real quick. Go ahead and join the Discord. We shouted it out a billion times in this episode, which is the best place to hang out with us. It's where you get all our updates on a very consistent basis. It's really, if you want to know what's going on in the Anime Brothers world, that is the place to be. Even if you don't hang out with the people, just check the announcements page and you'll see, that's why this episode is not coming out, because Earthworm's a lazy prick. Rate and review us on Apple and Spotify, follow us on your preferred podcast platform, and go to animisery.com, not only to read Matt's blog, but also it will direct you to be able to vote on our summer seasonal awards that will be coming up. You got the seasonal episode that you're going to listen to, the review, and then at some point, whether it be an extra episode, whether it be a full-on fucking red carpet, you know, event, we will do something and your votes will be counted and it'll be fun. So yeah, please, everybody out there, go vote, join the Discord, do all the things I just said. I'm rambling now, so I'm Rambly Earthworm,
and I'm Apple Loving Matt,
and we have been the Rambling Apple Loving Anime Brothers Podcast. Bye, everyone.